right? But, you know, does anyone know what the road to the bad place is paved with? Good intentions. Thank you, Paula. That's exactly right. The implication being that intentions never quite get us to where we want to go. Intentions never quite get us to the goal of whatever it is that we want. Intentions are things that are great to have, but intentions are things that we need to put into practice. And we all have them, don't we? We all have good intentions. Now, I can guarantee you, this is Memorial Day weekend. All through this last week, you have been thinking about, or guys, your wife has been thinking about, things that you need to do and you need to accomplish this weekend, right? I mean, you got a few days here, so what is it we need to do? And there are going to be all kinds of good intentions for the weekend. You know, it started on Saturday, you did something, you may do a little more this afternoon, tomorrow's going to be the big day where you're going to get caught up with all the yard work that you intended to do, and you're going to wash the car and all those kinds of things. You know what's going to happen tomorrow night? You're going to get tomorrow night and say, you know, I really had good intentions this weekend, right? I mean, you'll get a few of the things done, maybe, but you will not accomplish everything that you wanted to do. You had some good intentions. Every college student knows what a good intention is. You've got a term paper to write. You have a deadline. You've known about it since day one. It was right there in the syllabus. They told you this term paper is going to be due on this date. You know when you start the term paper? The night before. I mean, we're all the same way, right? I mean, goes is same as for midterms, for finals. If you're in school, the same way. Or your job. You have a big project. You know it's due on a certain date. When do you start looking at that project? Maybe the day before. Why? There are so many other things that seem to just come in and take our time and use our time, so we can't quite get to where we want to get. And you tell yourself, it's okay because I work better under pressure. You've heard that, haven't you? You know, put me under a little pressure, man, I am great. Have you ever done your taxes on April the 14th? Or maybe April the 15th, all right? You know, on April the 15th, that's the big day. And we all know that you have until midnight of April the 15th to get your taxes in, right? Have you ever been by a post office at about 11:45 on April the 15th? I mean, the lines are out in the road. The lines getting in trying to buy stamps are longer than they could ever be. I mean, people are waiting until the last minute to get the job done. Now, how do I know that? Well, somebody told me one time that's what it really was like, you know, but I'm not quite sure. What's the problem? We have good intentions, but it seems like we can't quite get there. Procrastination is the word that we oftentimes use for this. You know, you don't send the birthday card because you think, okay, I'll send it tomorrow, and tomorrow comes and goes, and finally the birthday comes and goes, and you get around to sending the card a week after the birthday, and you have to write a little note in it. Have you ever done this, any of you? A little note that says, I'm sorry this card is late. I picked it out. You always give yourself an excuse, you see. I was really on top of it. I picked it out the week before your birthday. I just didn't get a chance to mail it. Have you been there, any of you? Sure. We've all been there. We procrastinate. When we procrastinate, it puts stress on the relationship because it shifts the burden of responsibility someplace else. And oftentimes, if we procrastinate in our job or a place like that, it actually shifts the burden onto someone else. I've never met, quite frankly, a procrastinator that didn't have good intentions. I mean, come on. Let's all of us procrastinators say it together. I have good intentions, right? I mean, my intentions are great. I intend to get it done. I intend to do it. I intend to have it done early. I intend that it's going to be the best we ever did. I intend to put the time in on this project. I really need to put in on this project. But when we get to the bottom line, what happens? The same old thing. This week I came across the Procrastinator's Creed. It goes something like this. I believe that if anything is worth doing, it would have been done already. I shall never move quickly except to avoid more work or find excuses. I will never rush into a job without a lifetime of consideration. I shall meet all of my deadlines directly in proportion to the amount of bodily injury I could expect to receive from missing them. I truly believe that all deadlines are unreasonable, regardless of the amount of time given. I shall never forget that the probability of a miracle, though infinitesimally small, it still is not exactly zero. How about this one? If at first I don't succeed, there's always next year. Or I shall always decide not to decide, unless, of course, I decide to change my mind. Do you know any people like that? I know that the work cycle is not plan, start, finish, but it is wait, plan, and plan. I will never put off until tomorrow what I can forget about forever. Boy, now there's a motto for life, isn't it, right there? I'll never put off what I can just kind of forget about forever. Can any of you relate to this? You don't have to raise your hands, all right? Or let me ask it this way. Do you know someone that you feel can relate to that? You know, psychologist Dennis Wheatley talks about living in a place called Someday Isle. In his book, Seeds of Greatness, he has this little poem. Let me read this to you and you can follow along, because I think it's a great little poem. It goes like this. There is an island of fantasy, a someday isle we'll never see. When recession stops, inflation ceases, our mortgage is paid, our pay increases, that someday isle where problems end, where every piece of mail is from a friend, where all the nations can go it alone, where we all retire at 41, playing backgammon in the island sun. Most unhappy people look to tomorrow to erase this day's hardship and sorrow. They put happiness on layaway and struggle through a blue today. But happiness cannot be sought. It cannot be earned. It cannot be bought. Life's most important revelation is that the journey means more than the destination. Happiness is where you are right now, pushing a pencil or pushing a plow, going to school or standing in line, watching and waiting or tasting the wine. If you live in the past, you become senile. If you live in the future, you're on someday aisle. The fear of results is procrastination. The joy of today is celebration. You can save, you can slave, trudging mile after mile, but you'll never set foot on your someday aisle. When you've paid all your dues and put in your time, out of nowhere comes another Mount Everest to climb. From this day forward, make it your vow. Take someday aisle and make it your now. You know, we're in this series where we're talking about momentum and moving on. And we're talking about kind of overdrive. Not overdrive to pile more on your life, but how do I do and accomplish the things that I want to accomplish? How do I take the things in life and move them on? And so I want to talk to you today about how you can get started living in overdrive. Started with the momentum that's going to push you forward in every area of life, no matter what you do. And I think there are some principles we can look at and learn, and I want us to think about together this morning. Some principles that we need to put into practice. And as we put them into practice, it will help us to move forward, to accomplish what we want to, and quite frankly, to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. So let's think about these. If you haven't found your outline yet, there's an outline in your bulletin. You can pull it out and look at it. And you can write down some of these things as we think about them together. The first is this. We need to realize that a small step today is better than a big step tomorrow. Think about that. The reason for this is that tomorrow never comes. Many times we think, tomorrow I'll be more prepared, or I'll be up to the challenge emotionally, or tomorrow I'll have more energy tomorrow. But you know what? It never ever works that way. The next day, when it finally comes, is not tomorrow, but it's today. And we oftentimes think tomorrow is going to be better. Tomorrow I can get started. Tomorrow I can do this. And so the procrastinator's mantra is tomorrow. I encourage you, whatever it is that you've been putting off, don't put it off anymore. Get started. Take the first step. Even if it's a small step, a walk around the block that you take today is better than that 5 miles that you're going to run tomorrow. Or skimping on a dessert today, and maybe just take a little bit, is a whole lot better than that big diet that you planned for tomorrow. Or 5 minutes spent in prayer today is better than that hour of prayer that you're planning on having tomorrow. Simply saying something like, I love you to your wife and children, just very quick, is better than that big plan that you have to show your love tomorrow. Or sometimes just setting down for just a little while is better than that big vacation you're planning for tomorrow. You see what I'm saying? Oftentimes in life, it's the little steps that we take today that are better than the big steps that we intend to take tomorrow. So that's the first thing I want you to think about, is a small step today is oftentimes better than a big step tomorrow. Here's the second thing I want you to kind of put in your mind to think about as we talk about this momentum and how do we get going and how do we start now. That is, make a 10-minute commitment. Make a 10-minute commitment. I learned this trick a long time ago. And it's a trick that I have tried to put in practice, oftentimes failed, to be honest, but tried to put in practice over the years. And that is, sometimes if you will just start doing it now, just a little bit, then you can get into it and you'll keep going and you won't stop. That once you get into kind of the swing of things, it just propels you on. And so just start by saying 10 minutes. I'll give this 10 minutes. Let's say that a salesperson has several calls to make and is just really struggling with getting started. Maybe the thing to say is, let me just take 10 minutes with the first person and see how it goes. And once you get into it, you kind of get into the momentum of doing it and you're able to do it. Or let's say that you've got a number of projects that you're working on. The list just seems so overwhelming. Just start with one and just give it 10 minutes. And see how it goes. And oftentimes, after 10 minutes, it's interesting that you're in it and you're involved in it and you just keep going and keep moving. You know, things oftentimes appear to be bigger than they really are. And the key word there is the word appear. We let things just overwhelm us sometimes, and we build them so big that they appear to be so much bigger than they really are. We begin to say things like, oh, you know, I'm a month behind. What will 10 minutes do? I am so far behind, I will never, ever catch up. Or we say things like, I am so out of shape. You know, I should be walking an hour a day. What is 10 minutes going to do for me? Just 10 minutes. You know, it's interesting, psychologically and physically, what 10 minutes will do for you. Or we'll say things like, there is so much stress in my family life. How will 10 minutes of holding my wife's hand or 10 minutes of reading to my children really make a difference? We can't solve our problem in 10 minutes. You know, it's true. But it's amazing what those 10 minutes will do. So make a 10-minute commitment. Here's the third one to catch on to real quick. Save perfection for another day. Let me just ask you, are any of you perfectionists in here? I've known some perfectionists. Will's a perfectionist. Are you a perfectionist, Will? Will is a perfectionist, so he is going to be our example in this whole thing right here. You, Will. There are some people who are just perfectionists. You've known some, right? They just, if it is not perfect, they will not do it. You know what oftentimes happens? I don't know if this is you or not, Will. But oftentimes, a perfectionist will procrastinate so that they won't do it wrong. They'll do it perfect. You get what I'm saying? there are oftentimes people who won't even start anything until they have it figured out how they can do it perfect. Students writing a term paper. And boy, this is going to be the best term paper ever. This is going to be a term paper that the college professor will remember for the next 10 years. When he retires, he's still going to be talking about this term paper. You got it? And because it's going to be so great, you never quite get started with it. And therefore, you come up, where did we start this whole thing? The day before the term paper's due, and you throw something together, and the college professor gets it and says, started this one yesterday, didn't you? You know, sometimes the perfectionist has a habit of procrastinating. And a perfectionist has this tendency to put things off. It is so tempting to say, I'm going to make it just the best ever. I'm going to plan it out just the best ever, so I won't quite start it yet. Let me tell you, folks, if you haven't realized it yet, none of us are perfect. You got it? None of us are perfect. Therefore, there are a lot of things in life we are going to do that will not be perfect. But we still need to look at them, and we still need to do them, and they are still important for us in life. Now you may be sitting there going, Mark, what does all this have to do with church? I mean, this sounds like a good little speech that you're doing, but, you know, what does this have to do with where we are and growing spiritually and all of that? There's a story in Luke chapter 19 that you will be very familiar with. And the story hits the nail on the head with what we're talking about today. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus is passing through Jericho. And there's a little guy in Jericho by the name of Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was not a good man. He was a tax collector. He was a dishonest businessman. And when he heard Jesus was coming to town, he decided, you know, I would really like to see this guy, Jesus. If you grew up in Sunday school, remember the song that we used to sing about Zacchaeus? You know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. See, I knew you guys would remember the song. Let me read you a little bit of the story. Verse 5 of chapter 19 says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. I've always loved that part of the story. I want you to catch some things in there, especially the urgency in Jesus' words. You see what he says? Come down. What's the next word? Immediately. Then he says, I must stay at your house today. If you underline in your Bible at all, underline those three words. Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Jesus did not come up to the tree, look up and see Zacchaeus and say, hey Zacchaeus, when you get tired of standing up in that tree, come on down here. I want to talk to you for a little while. And you know, I may need a place to stay tonight. So since I need a place to stay, hey, if you got a little room in your house, why don't we come over there and let's stay for a little while. Hey, by the way, if today doesn't work, I'm going to be in the area for the next 2 or 3 days. So maybe tomorrow, the day after that, I can come and stay in your house. Is that what Jesus said? No. It says that when Jesus came up, he said, come down immediately. I must stay in your house today. Jesus was saying, Zacchaeus, don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. There is something important that's about to happen. There is something important that's going to take place. Then look at what Zacchaeus does. This is verse 6. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Did you catch the words? At once. Zacchaeus didn't say, wait a minute, Lord, I got the best seat in the house up here. Let me just stay up here for a little while, and when the crowd begins to kind of disperse, then I'll come down and we'll go talk for a while. But right now, if you want to say something, go ahead and say it, because I've got the best seat that there is anywhere. He didn't say that at all. He came down at once and welcomed him gladly. He invited Jesus into his house. He didn't say, Jesus, my house isn't quite ready. You know, the maid's been off this week. We didn't get the laundry done. It's a little dirty. I haven't swept the dirt this week. And so I'm not sure this is the best time for you to come to my house. Why don't we make it Friday? Friday I'll have things cleaned up and ready. That's not what he did at all. He said, all right, come on. I'm ready. The house is ready. I don't care what it looks like. Come on over. He didn't say those things. He said he invited Jesus right now. And what happened? There was this spur-of-the-moment meeting that led to life-changing events for Zacchaeus. He said, Jesus, I want to start doing things right. I'll give half my money to the poor. If I have cheated anyone, remember this guy was a tax collector. If I have cheated anyone, I'll give back four times what I took. And here's what Jesus said, verse 9. I love this. Today, salvation has come into this house. You catch the word again? It's immediate. Today, right now. Salvation has come. Why? Because Zacchaeus responded to Jesus' invitation. He responded immediately because Jesus had urgency in his words and said, Zacchaeus, I need to go to your house today. Come on down out of the tree. Let's get with it. Let's go. There's a story that Satan one time called all of his demons together. And he said, guys, we got a problem. He said, you know, we're not doing real well on earth. He said, we need a new strategy to pull people our way. And so he said, any of you got a good idea about what we need to do? Do any of you want to volunteer? And one guy raised his hand. He says, yeah, I'll volunteer. Satan said, if I send you to earth, what are you going to tell the humans to bring them to their destruction? He said, I'm going to tell them there's no heaven. I mean, they do all this stuff because they believe there's a heaven, because they believe that one of these days they're going to get all this great stuff in heaven. And so I'll just tell them there's no heaven. Satan said, that's not going to work. He said, they're not going to believe you if you tell them that. So there's no way that's going to work. Another demon raised his hand. He says, Satan, I'll go down. He says, let me go. I got the idea. Satan says, how are you going to ensure destruction? He said, I'm going to do it because I'm going to tell them there's no hell. You know, a lot of times I think they do good stuff because they're just afraid of hell. And if I tell them there's no hell, then shoot, they'll do whatever they want. Satan said, that's not going to work. They won't believe that. That won't work at all. You can't do that. So finally there was another demon. He raised his hand. He says, I'll go. Satan said, what are you going to tell them? He said, my message is real simple. He said, I'm just going to tell them there's no hurry. Satan said, that'll work. You go. The thing that stands between you and life are the things that oftentimes we put off until tomorrow. That applies to your health. It applies to your finances. It applies to your professional life. It also applies to your family life. And it especially applies to your spiritual life. Oftentimes we just want to put things off until tomorrow. We have a lesson to learn from Jesus, who was urgent in what he said, and Zacchaeus, who responded immediately. You want momentum in your life? Don't put off things till tomorrow that you can do today. If you want to move at full speed, begin today. I've got a phrase for you. And again, this is that one I oftentimes say, if you don't get anything else, here's the one to get. That's this. The small step you take today will carry you much, much further than the big step that you will never take tomorrow. Do you get that? The small step that you take today will carry you much, much further than that big step that you plan that you will never get to tomorrow. And the place, obviously, to begin all of this is in your spiritual life. Take some steps today to get on track today. Maybe the first step you need to take is that step all the way back at the beginning of your realization of Jesus and who he is, and saying, yes, Lord, I want to accept you as my Lord and my Savior. All those things they've talked about sin, and I hear that they can be washed away if I just accept Christ as my Savior and follow him, if I come and I'm baptized and I begin that new walk. That's where I need to begin. Maybe for some of us, it's a little further down the road. We've had some great times in our spiritual life and some things have gone really well. And we've had some highs and, you know, we've learned some lessons about do it today. But we kind of let those things slide over time because life gets in the way sometimes, doesn't it? Maybe today we need to start by taking those small little steps and saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to get back on track. I want to develop my relationship with you. I want to have a better prayer life. I want to understand your word better. I want to be involved in a community group someplace where people are getting together and working. I want church to be a priority for me. All of those things are steps that we can take, little steps today, that will help us grow into what he wants us to be for eternity. You see, it is a matter of what can I do today? Immediately, come down out of the tree when Jesus calls and follow him. Lord, for all of us, we have those places in our life where we need to take those steps, where we need to move a little further down the road, where we need to say yes to you, and we need to allow you to come into our lives. We need to just sometimes get off of the waiting and get into the moving. And by doing that, we'll have momentum in life to do what you've called us to do and to respond to you. And we pray that as we do that, and as you come into our hearts and our lives, that we will totally commit ourselves, every part of ourselves, to you. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together.
See was the struggle, haunted by ghosts that lived in my past. Bound up in shackles of all my faith. How long is this gonna last? Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. I am redeemed. You say, so I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain, 'cause I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. Oh, my life, I have been called unworthy. By the voice of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me. Set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be. Because I don't have to be the old man inside of me. His day is long dead and gone. Because I had a new name, a new life, I'm not the same. I hope that will carry me home. I am redeemed. You say. chains, wipe away every sin. I'm not who I used to be. Oh God, I'm not who I used to be. Jesus, I'm not who I